This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community, taking you around the globe one queer story at a time. And yes, we are still working remotely to bring you the LGBTI news of the world. And tonight I'm Matt and I'm joined by the Worldwide Wave panel of Stefan.
Hello.
And Alex.
Guten Abend. Now, Afghanistan does not have a very good history when it comes to LGBTIQ rights. Same-sex sexual activity can bring prison and even death sentences for people who have been found guilty. And although no such sentences have been applied after the end of the Taliban ruling the country in the early 2000s, the return of the Taliban leaves LGBTIQ people with little hope for their future in Afghanistan.
Previously, under Taliban rule, many LGBTIQ people fled the country, very often using people smugglers to reach a safe place and seek asylum. One of these stories is now coming to cinemas. Jonas Pore Rasmussen is a director and writer. His latest documentary, Flee, an animated documentary, recounts the story of Amin, a child refugee from Afghanistan to Denmark. Flee is a story of a young man grappling with his traumatic past in order to find his true self and the meaning of home. Here's a taste of what's coming up.
You know, he was, yeah, just through some awful things with human traffickers, and he's been to jail and he's been on a boat that was sinking, and he's just experienced a lot at a very early age. So when he arrived at my hometown at 15, he's just been through these things that you wouldn't imagine a teenage boy go through.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Tragic scenes of life in Afghanistan have been streaming across the world as the Western coalition forces depart the country after 20 long years. Many Afghans are fearing what comes next. Women are frightened they will lose their right to learn at school or work a job, but for the LGBT community, they once again fear for their lives under the Taliban rule. Jonas Pore Rasmussen came across the story of one man, Amin, who managed to escape Afghanistan as a child refugee to Denmark. As a film director and writer, he knew it was a story that had to be told. His new documentary, Flee, is an animated documentary recounting Amin's story. It took many years after Amin reached Denmark for him to be able to tell his story, to find his true self and the meaning of home. We ask Jonas how he came across Amin. Jonas, the film is Flee is based on a true story. How did you come across that story?
Well, and yeah, and the taking that based on a true story, it is a true story. So it's a dear friend of mine, Amin, who I met when I was 15 years old, and he arrived to my sleepy hometown in Denmark one day all by himself from Afghanistan, and he stayed in foster care with a family just around the corner from where I lived. We then started meeting every morning at the bus stop going to high school, and slowly became very good friends. And this is 25 years ago. And in all those years, he never told me or anyone else about how or why he got to Denmark, until a couple of years back, where he finally told me the story and I recorded the interview. And this is kind of the basis of the film. This interview where you hear him tell his story for the first time, and then we animated the whole thing.
Jonas, why did he hold back for so long? What was stopping him from telling that even to his closest friends?
Two reasons. One, is because it was such a traumatic journey, and he just couldn't talk about it. And the other thing was that he was given this fake story by the human traffickers who got him to Denmark that he thought that he had to stick to, and he didn't want to, and he didn't want to lie to people, so he just tried to avoid talking about his past at all, and he did so for more than 20 years, and then finally he told me the story.
Perhaps give us a bit of an overview of what that story is.
Sure, but it's kind of a classical. Do you mean like the fake story he was given, or the real story?
The story that people are going to see in the film.
Well, it's kind of a, you know, I want to say classical, but it might sound wrong, but it's a refugee story, you know. So he's from Afghanistan and he grew up there and was in a happy and loving home in his childhood, and then everything turned bad as the civil war began and the Mujahideen took over Kabul where he grew up, and he had to flee from one day to the other with his family, and he then spent 5 years on the run before he arrived all by himself in Denmark. He got separated from his family, you know, he was, yeah, just through some awful things with human traffickers, and he's been to jail, and he's been on a boat that was sinking, and he's just experienced a lot at a very early age. So when he arrived at my hometown at 15, he's just been through these things that you wouldn't imagine a teenage boy go through.
Jonas, you said that he didn't want to tell the story to start with, or he hasn't told anybody. What made him tell the story now?
I think he kind of knew all along that he needed to tell it at some point, because, you know, he's been living a life where his past and his present doesn't really connect. And it's been so hard for him to not be able to live with his real story. So he knew all along that at some point he had to do it to make his life feel like a whole. But it just took so long because he's been really scared of doing it.
So there's a couple of themes that seem to come out within the film. One of them is, and you've sort of alluded to it, the constant fear of being a refugee, being questioned by authorities, being thrown out of a country, just that uncertainty of a future. How did you capture that in the film?
I think this notion of living in constant fear is very prominent in the film. Like the animation kind of changes in style. So in the film, we try to really show, because this is very much a film about trauma and memories. And every time he goes into talking about something that's really traumatic, the animation kind of changes and becomes more kind of surreal and graphical. And that's to kind of really show this fear that he's been living with all along. Of course, during the journey, but also afterwards, because he's been carrying this thing within. So it's something, I think with the animation, it allowed us to be more expressive about these traumatic experiences. And that was really a big help compared to trying to capture it with a camera.
Jonas Poa Rasmussen, director and writer of the documentary Flee, with us on Joy 94.9. I have to say, I am really excited to see this. It was to have a showing at MIF, and of course, all the COVID changes have put a stop to that. But it looks like, and we're going to post the trailer on our Facebook page tonight, it looks like a really stunning, amazing story that's going to be told.
Yeah, it'd be great if the Melbourne Queer Film Festival could maybe pick it up, fingers crossed. Incredible experience and story there, that having to take on the fake story by the human traffickers, that's quite intriguing.
And the fact that it's sort of this tale across so many years, in fact, this sort of his story started prior to, I guess, this latest conflict that's been going for so long, and he's kept it pretty much to himself until now. Interestingly, that the people in Afghanistan are fearing that life will return to what it was there, and for LGBTIQ people, that is just devastating.
Yeah, it's very timely, isn't it? Like the whole, you know, the very coincidental, but, you know, just this question of LGBT plus migration now and showing how it's more important than ever that, you know, countries accept their responsibilities in a way, but as we'll see in a wrap, not always the case.
Yeah, I think there have been some calls already from LGBTIQ people making calls to... I was reading an article in a French magazine calling to ask for help and recounting already of killings and things like this, which doesn't sound very promising. They're going to be a lot of people trying to now escape and having to go through this.
Yes, so many stories to tell, and it doesn't come out all at once. It doesn't come out. I mean, for Amin, it took him, you know, 20-odd years to process that. He's been living this, I don't want to say living a lie, but he'd been living this false narrative to protect himself, and now he's able to, I guess, have some take that load off his shoulders. It's almost like coming out again, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just that. I mean, what age was he again when he? Is that
15?
15 he was when he left. And I mean, wow, the bravery and what he, you know, the fear he must have lived under.
And I think having to stick with us, as I was saying that, and Alex, having to stick with this fake story because you need it to become you. You need it to, because you can't afford to have several stories. So you really are becoming that person that you've been told you should be by the human traffickers to survive. And I think it's a difficult story, I think, to tell.
Yes, absolutely.
And making that decision to tell this, not only to tell it, but to tell it to a filmmaker and, you know, knowing that this can... In today's modern technology, this story can go around the world. That's a little bit of a risk on its own. It is a fascinating documentary called Flea. And coming up, we hear from Jonas, the director, why he wanted to use animation to recount Amin's story. You're listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Otkan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
We are broadcasting outside the studio at the moment, but we do still love to receive your messages. The best way to reach us is on Facebook. Go to Worldwide Wave or the shortcut W3Joy. You'll find our Facebook page. And what's more, you can message us, or if you follow us, we will send you LGBT stories from across the globe throughout the week.
It is very rare to find an animated film dealing with LGBTI issues, yet the Sundance Film Festival this year hosted a new animated documentary, Flea, the story of a gay refugee's escape from Afghanistan to Denmark. Jonas Poer Rasmussen is the director and writer. He recounts the story of Amin, who he met and knew for many years before Amin shared with him his full and traumatic story. We asked Jonas why he wanted to use animation to tell his story.
Yeah, well, this was one of the reasons, because with animation, it allowed us to be more expressive. But most of all, you know, the story really takes place in the past. So, like, how do you make Afghanistan in the 80s come alive? How do you make his childhood home come alive? How do you make Moscow in the 90s come alive? But most of all, because he wanted to be anonymous, and animation really seemed like the good way to go, because we could both revive his past and not show his face at the same time with animation. So there's multiple reasons, but actually what really started it was the fact that he had to be anonymous, and we thought about multiple ways of doing that.
One of the other themes we were sort of looking at was, and it's kind of a good one, if you like, a positive, there's a responsibility, or he feels a responsibility to his family to exceed their expectations. And it, quite often in migrants and refugees, there is a drive to show their family that they've become a success. Do you think that being gay makes that an even stronger desire for Amin to, you know, show that he's turned out a good person?
Being gay made it even stronger. It's definitely there, and maybe it is. I don't want to be too psychological about that. But of course, there's been a kind of guilt toward his family because they'd given so much and they gave everything that he so he could go to Denmark. So there's a big, he had a guilt towards his family and really wanted to do well to make sure that, that he could give something back. There might have been a sort of guilt as well for being gay, but I'm not sure that's really what kind of made him work so hard. I think really what made him work hard was the fact that he felt that he owed his family to do everything he could to create a good life for himself so he could pay back what they gave him.
And does his family know that he's gay now?
Yes, they do. I don't want to spoil too much about the film, but yes, he came up to them and you'll see what happened in the film.
There's a comment about the movie, about the film that could probably resonate with a lot of LGBT people. It's looking at sifting through what is real and what was real for Amin and what he's had to train himself to believe about him and his past in order to survive. So just, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. I think the struggle for Amin throughout all his life has actually been that he's never been able to be fully who he was. Like in Afghanistan, because he was gay and he knew from a very, very early age, and he knew that that wasn't acceptable in Afghanistan where he lived. So he had to hide that away. And then the same thing happened when he arrived to Denmark, because then all of a sudden he couldn't talk about his past. He couldn't be who he was with the past he had. He couldn't talk about his family. He couldn't talk about how he got to Denmark. So this thing about always trying to hide something away is really a big thing in the film and probably something that a lot of LGBTQ people can relate to, that this thing about, there's this thing that is truly who I am that is difficult to bring with me. It kind of connects with the fleeing. You know, he's been fleeing all along from who he was. And he's trying to kind of connect everything in the film.
As a filmmaker, you've been charged with delivering his story in a really good way, but also you're removed from it, so you're going to see things slightly differently to Amin himself. How heavy was the weight of that responsibility for you?
It was heavy, but I think it always is when you deal with real people. Of course, even more so now because he's a very dear friend that I've known since I was 15 years old. So, of course, I felt a huge responsibility. But he was really, he was really generous with me. Like, he was really kind of open and said, okay, but now I've decided to tell my story and that he trusted me that I would tell it in a way that he would appreciate. So he was really, really being generous all the way through and said, okay, but I made this decision. And I stand by it, and I'm giving you my story, and I trust you to tell it in a good way. So that was really, really generous and just helped me a lot because I felt his trust, and I think that really helped the process of making the film.
And just tell us about the first time that he saw that film in its entirety. How did he react?
He was very moved by it, but he said it was really difficult for him to kind of figure out if it was because, you know, it's his own memories, it's his own traumas. So of course he would be moved. And he was like, I don't know if it's a good film, but he was really moved by it. So happy. And I think even more so actually when it premiered at Sundance this year. And he saw all the responses, which was overwhelmingly positive. And this thing that people actually related to his story and felt it was very important to him. He's really happy about the film.
And how? So he's happy about the film, and how does he feel about having told the story?
It seems like it really helped him. Like he really feel like, okay, now it's out there. I like, he doesn't feel like he needs to hide anything anymore, so it freed him up. I think you'll also see that in the film. feel the change in him. So that's what he said, that it freed him up.
From Denmark, Jonas Poer Rasmussen, director and writer of the new documentary Flea, with us on Joy 94.9. The idea of the animation, which provides not only just something completely different, but provides that bit of anonymity, the protection for Amin, for his story. I think this is a really beautiful way of doing it.
Yes. It's becoming quite a popular platform, actually, isn't it? Because it was that the Waltz with Balzia film a couple of years ago that also sort of was an animated documentary about life in Middle East, Palestine, if I remember correctly, also got high praise.
And also, I mean, I think Jonas was telling us about how he wanted to use animation to picture the past properly. I mean, it would have been extremely difficult to film that now in Afghanistan and to film that story, or even not just filming it in Afghanistan, or even kind of, you know, recalling this time 30 years ago in Afghanistan.
Something that always comes up in refugee stories is this guilt for the people that they have left back home. And if you like, the flip side of that, the desire to make a really good showing of your life because you've had this opportunity, you've been able to escape.
Absolutely. Is that a sense of responsibility? As you say, you know, it's, the pressure, what is not already a very difficult transition to a new society, not to mention his own coming out. I can imagine that pressure it put on him. And also dealing with that, you know, the intersectionality of, you know, being queer and a migrant Muslim country. We know in countries like a lot of European countries, not exactly always accepted.
Coming up on Joy 94.9, we hear why there are so few animated movies with queer content. This is World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrielides, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the World Wide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe one queer story at a time, World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. A special hello to everybody that is listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcast automatically. You can subscribe at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. And please leave us a review.
Speaking of podcasts, our wonderful podcaster, Peter, is incredibly efficient in getting our podcasts up. They're almost always up the next day, including last week's one, which was a ripper. Peter Tatchell, who is a world-renowned, a legend in the area of advocacy for LGBT people and broader human rights. Joy was able to speak to him last week about a documentary that is about his life, which is called Hating Peter Tatchell. So go to joy.org.au/worldwidewave or iTunes or your favourite podcast platform and you can hear that one. It is a ripper. Jonas Poer Rasmussen is the director and writer of the documentary Flea, which had its debut at the Sundance Film Festival this year to much critical acclaim. The animated documentary tells the story of a child refugee escaping from Afghanistan to a new life and a new love in Denmark. We asked Jonas why there are so few animated movies with LGBTIQ content. For you as a filmmaker, and I guess thinking a bit more broadly about queer content, there's not much queer content in animated films. You got any thoughts on why that is? Is it sort of seen as more of a kid's thing, or?
It definitely is. Yeah. It's definitely like it's a kid's thing, and I don't know why. I guess. Yeah, I don't know why. Like it should be kind of natural, but it's definitely a kid's thing. And then the fact that you draw it. No, I don't have a good answer for that. I think it's really because there's so few animated films for adults. That I think that's why you don't see it a lot. But hopefully there'll be more out there now. Because in Flea, you definitely see that you have two men kissing, and it feels quite natural, and it should be like that.
There seems to be more queer films and story looking at intersectionality between queer and race, disability, queer migrant, refugee. Is that your observation, and why do you think this is happening?
I think this double stigma is really interesting. I think this thing that you kind of run from two things at the same time, like that you have to have two struggles at the same time. It's so tough. And I don't know why there's a lot of stories on that just now, but I think because there's such a focus on LGBTQ and migration at the moment, it just makes sense to tell these stories.
Yanis, you mentioned that Amin wasn't quite sure if it was a good film or not. The people at Sundance thought otherwise. It picked up the World Cinema Grand Jury Prize. How do you feel about that as a filmmaker?
Well, it's amazing, you know. I've worked on this film for 7 years. So when you put so much work into something, it's just wonderful to see it being appreciated like that. If I'd worked on it for 7 years and it just kind of would disappear when it's done, that would be really hard. So, and there's been so many amazing people working on the film, so it's just nice to see that all the work paid off. And but most importantly is, you know, that people, it really seems like people relate to the story, and I just feel it's really all I hope for.
The film is Flea. It's showing at this year's Melbourne International Film Festival. The director and writer of Flea is Jonas Rasmussen. Thank you so much for joining us from Denmark.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It's a bit true. We have become attuned to the whole idea that animation is all for kids. It's kids' movies. It's the Disneyfication of stories. Everything has a happy ending.
It's true. Although I came across a queer short, animated queer short on one of the streaming platform that we've just referred to that was about coming out in around 6-7 minutes. So they are, but it was probably looking at for kids rather than this story of Amin, who was done as a documentary for animated documentary for a different purpose.
I think also the big studios like Disney are taking on LGBT characters and storylines. We had sort of Love, Simon, and then the spin-off series Love, Victor, where that the gay person is central to the story, not just sort of a character. So I think there is this change going on in the film world. Maybe animation is just the next step in that.
Yes, it could be. That's hopefully the case.
Now, of course, the other big message, big idea that comes out in this documentary is the intersectionality of issues, where we have the issue of being gay or being queer and a completely different issue of being a refugee, and how that multiplies the complexity of being able to respond to that.
Yes, well, I would think that was quite a dilemma, no doubt, for Amin, being within that community, the refugee and migrant community, when he arrived in Europe, just having, to deal with that issue of the, no doubt reasonably widespread homophobia amongst the migrant community. So having to then deal with that, as well as dealing with the wider society of integrating into Denmark.
And without giving too much of the movie away, as we've said before, he wanted to stick to his story as told by the human trafficker, so he couldn't tell his partner that he was what happened to him and how he made it to Denmark, which was really interesting. Sometimes it's the other way around, don't tell your LGBT or queer, but...
Yeah, that would have been really interesting conversations between them. I mean, you want to... support and trust your partner, but then what are they hiding? And I'm not saying that in a negative way. You want to try and take that weight off their shoulders and support them, but very tricky.
I don't know that you can. I don't know. Hiding is probably not. I mean, to me, hiding doesn't sound right. Like, hiding sounds like on purpose. But there's been so much trauma. It's probably also something you don't want to think about and you want to forget. And it's not. Don't want it to be part of you, really.
It's burying it inside. Yeah. As we mentioned, it has had great acclaim. It won the Grand Jury Prize at the World Cinema Documentary section at Sundance, and we can't wait to see it as soon as it comes online for us all to watch.
This is Tiseke Kasambala from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
A huge thank you tonight to writer and director Jonas Porhe Rasmussen, and his documentary is called Flea. It was going to be played at the Melbourne International Film Festival, but COVID had other plans. So watch out for its Australian release.
And thank you to all those who've contacted us on Facebook, Richard, Yangfa, Betty, Liz and heap more have joined and interacted with us this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook, and all those who've contacted us via SMS and email.
Our behind-the-scenes team, Peter the podcaster and Dean the social media master, thank you for your work as well.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.